We are here with Odalis Nanin, who, oh my God, you wear so many different hats. You have so many different titles.
Yes, and
one in particular is being the director of the Macha Theater.
Artistic director.
Yes. Let me correct myself here.
It's okay.
But I mean, you're a playwright. You're a producer.
Uh-huh.
You direct plays. What don't you do?
I don't sing. Well, in my shower. I sing in my shower.
I think all of us kind of.
Yeah, I write, direct, produce. I act in my play sometimes.
Yes.
And this particular one.
Actress also, yes.
I am also acting in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started, actually, as an actress. You know, that was my passion that got me into theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got here, I realized that there were no parts that I really wanted to play because they were either prostitutes, maids, or jailbirds, you know, women in prison like Cha-Cha and things like that. And I thought, gosh, you know, I really want to, like, really want to do good theater, you know, and I want to tell my stories, and you know, so people can have stories to identify with, and that's how I my co-partner back then, Marie Barrientos, and I, we got together and we wrote our first lesbian comedy, romantic comedy called Love Struck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge hit at the Hudson Theater, and I've rewrote it many times, and I just actually did it last year with two very talented actresses, Marilyn Sanabria and Yvette Corbea.
Yes, I got the pleasure to see that.
It was a beautiful set, and you know, and I keep, you know, it's I don't know, it's just these projects are with me. I can't explain it. It's just constant development, constant rewrite.
Well, like life.
Exactly. My life is in a constant development and rewrites.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is that, because of all the plays you've written, and produced,
I write, direct, produce all of them.
Yeah.
Because to me as a writer, I mean, how can you just finish the play and not put it up and let the audience enjoy and... Yeah. You know, captivate the audience with a message, because every play has a message, and every play teaches you something, and every play touches you in a different way, you know?
And in your plays, is there a touch of personal in some of them?
I'm pretty sure, in all of them, actually. In all of them. I believe what Ernest Hemingway said, true writing is good writing. And it comes from the truth inside you.
Yes.
You know, and I can do all the research in the world, but if it doesn't come from the truth inside me, I just, you know, there's something that doesn't click. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's always something. Of course, it's not exactly the same. You know, I have creative license and drama and all that I add to it.
Well, you have to. I mean, no, we wouldn't be sitting here looking
But this play is actually a very interesting story because the first scene in this play I wrote...
Which is Skin of Honey.
Which is the two young girls.
Mm-hmm.
There's two young girls who are 15 who are the younger selves of the adult version. And so that scene is 5 pages, and I wrote it 10 years before I actually wrote the entire play.
Oh, my God. So it's been around for what?
No.
I mean, in your
just
mind.
The scene. What happened is I wrote this scene. I got inspired to write it. I wrote it. I took the scene and I put it in my file, and I called it Piel de Miel, Skin of Honey.
Yeah.
You know, then I write other plays and I do other things, and I forget all about Skin of Honey, and then I'm sitting there with my friend talking about, she grew up in the Fidel, you know, revolution, and I was taken out of there. So I wasn't brainwashed. I wasn't a Fidelista. I was the opposite. So when she starts telling me about her experiences and what she did and what she learned and what, you know, all that was so fascinating to me because I had no knowledge of it. And so I said, wait a minute, I have a scene that I wrote many years ago, and let me go to the file, and there it is, and I take it out, and it was like the past coming back to me.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh my God, here is my next play. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote it in like 2-3 weeks.
Because there was so much right there already. and you just needed that
that catalyst, that the muse.
Yes, exactly. And now, after how many years now? Is nearly 10 years?
Well, 9 years.
9 years?
So I decided to, you know, because I usually write about a play a year, more or less, or I rewrite it and bring it back, or, you know. But what happened with this play was very interesting because it has a transgender character. It has the Fidel Castro character when he was very young and charismatic right after the revolution. It deals with politics. It has a father. The father in the play is kind of like a takeoff of my father and his issues. And some of the words in the play are words and things that my father told me when I was a kid, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, there's of course some of me in it, but it's totally made up. You know, so I created a story that is very passionate, politically driven, erotism also, love, you know.
Yes,
it has a happy ending, which is good.
Which is one of the things that I've noticed in many of your plays, there's always some romance and some...
you have to have love. Without love, was there? There's nothing there.
Oh, that's true. Love. Darn. No.
but you know what's so funny is when I first did the play in 07, I got great reviews. The LA Times, the LA Weekly, Toluca Times, great reviews. But the Cuban community did not like the fact that I put Fidel Castro in the play, and they kind of like boycotted it. And I thought, how strange, you know. They couldn't understand that it was about this reconciliation between the people that stayed and the people that left.
And also, if you're writing something, especially if it's kind of set in Cuba, how can you not include, especially that time period?
Exactly. How can you not, I had to. I felt that it was, you know. Yeah, so anyway, I let it rest for a bit because it was kind of like, okay. Mm. And also, it has a happy ending because at the time when I was writing it, I was in a very happy relationship. You know? I was married, you know, and I was happy and, you know, having a good time. So that's why. But it was really a love story. It was really inspired. And little pieces of, like, you know, different little stories that I hear about, you know, what Fidel did and what he didn't do, and, you know, characters in my life that I kind of, like, found fascinating. So I created them and I put them in the play.
And now, bringing it back now, I mean, it's an interesting time again with Cuba, with the...
Well, you know, when I heard that Obama was, like, landing in Cuba after 57 years of alienation, I was like, whoa, wait a minute here. Oh, I have to come. I have to bring back Skin of Honey, you know. And I wanted to bring it back because I kept hearing, like, oh, everything's going to be great now because, you know, Obama and this and that. Mm-hmm. No, everything is not going to be great now. It's good that he created that opening.
Yes.
And he will always be remembered for that now.
Exactly, of course.
And he created that opening, and it's great that the embassy is going to be back there. Mm-hmm. You know. Yes.
It's officially open already, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. So too.
And it's great that it's easier to go there and visit there so you can see with your own eyes what's going on there, which is not very pleasant. Mm-hmm. But the island is beautiful. It's paradise.
It's like most of all of our,
you know,
island countries.
And the main reason that I decided to bring it back, it was because of Obama. Yes, thank you, Obama. But also because I started hearing that everything was great over there, and I said, no, it is not great over there.
It's not going to change overnight.
You know, it has not. That's politics. Has nothing to do with the people.
Yeah.
That's just between two governments and their deals, you know, that they do. I said, but the people are still, they don't have equal rights. They don't have freedom of speech, especially for the gay community.
That's right.
And so
true.
I thought, oh, no, I have to enlightened the audience about the real Cuba of 1960, 1981, which is where the play takes place.
Oh, okay.
And how very little has changed. You know, so, and that was my drive to kind of like, okay, well, if you've never been to Castro and in Cuba and you've never experienced what it was like, come see Skin of Honey because you will learn. You will feel what it was like, okay?
So along with
I
me,
promise.
You're also a bit of a historian, I can tell.
I love history.
I do too.
It's one of my favorite subjects. I love history. I could see documentaries all day. Love it.
I'm not going to argue with you about that.
God, it's just you learn so much, you know? You just so much. Oh, I love it.
Well, like you said, you know, earlier in your career, I mean, I know you've done some television and things like
you
that.
You know me forever. You know me for a long time, haven't you? I've seen you everywhere.
Yeah, I want to actually say probably the late 90s.
Aish.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's no, right. No, yeah. It's on with Monica Palacio and all the...
I was wondering, actually, when I was driving over here.
All the revolucionarias from the 90s.
From the 90s. I was just kind of getting there.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, well, you probably have thought about it. I mean, but adopting a few of your plays into film?
Yes. I actually, there are some screenplays. I've written 3 screenplays and 10 plays. Mm-hmm. And this is one. Somebody approached me about this particular one, turning it into a movie, and it could be easily done. It's just you need a lot of money to do a movie.
I know, that's the...
This is a problema.
It's always. Why does it have to be money all the time? You know?
But, you know, people are really approaching me and asking me and saying, come on, let's do this into a movie. We're so beautiful. Yeah. You know?
We can shoot it
right here, Marina Del Rey. No, I don't know. You can, because, you know, the great thing about this story is that it happens, there's a scene, a couple of scenes at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We have a beach here. But she's a ballerina, and so she's in her studio rehearsing.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene with Fidel, but that's in his office, you know, or his mansion or whatever it is where he lives. So
set designer?
Yeah, they can be built.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and we can take stock footage, you know, if we wanted to have a shot of Cuba or something like that. So it can be done, very low budget, but it can be done.
You know,
thank you, Angela. I think I will. That's one of my next projects.
Well, I'll be waiting. I'll get my first ticket.
Fidel probably will find me, and I don't know.
No. This is so. Like we said, I've known you for a long time, and you know, I just think that. Well, I mean, you've taken this old theater that I love. I remember back in the 80s.
You know, when I did a play here when I was 20-something.
I remember 20-something.
Yeah, 20-something, huh?
But, I mean, you've brought this... I mean, you've been here for a while. And
Nueve.
You know.
And
I know it's not easy.
And I don't even know how I did it.
I know, you know.
It got really tough there for a minute.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I know it's not easy, but... there's a theater here for the community that's really wonderful, you know, and
the neighbors like it.
That's good. So I admire you for that, you know.
Thank you. Keep
it going, because I know, man, boy, do I know it's tough. It's tough doing this kind of stuff.
It is. It's tough here in LA, that's for sure. Yeah. It's a film town, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much theater there is also here in LA. You know, you don't have to go to the big theaters downtown, or, you know, I mean, there's lots of wonderful little theaters like this one.
And affordable, too.
Exactly. So this Skin of Honey opens?
June 11th. Through the 25th. It's for the Fringe.
It's the Hollywood Fringe.
It's the first time ever that Matcha Theater is part of the Fringe, thanks to the city of West Hollywood that created the One City, One Pride grant. And so the Fringe approached me as a venue, and there are 2 other plays playing as well, you know, gay theme plays.
Oh, good.
That are coming as well with this one. So, but this is our first time doing this with the Fringe, and I'm very excited. And you know, I mean, they have like what, 282 plays or something like that in 1 month. I mean, that's outrageous.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of plays happening in June.
Let's see. Well, it's also is part of Pride Month, probably.
Yes, it's called One City, One Pride.
Yes,
part of Pride. That's why I have my first show is the previous June 11th, which is Pride Weekend.
Right.
And then officially 17, 18, 19, 24, and 25. And the 18th, the Saturday the 18th, is the red carpet.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, you know.
Well, I'm not going to hold you up because I know you're busy. But thank you so much for doing this. And
I want to ask something, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure.
I have someone that I admire very much. He's almost like my mentor, who has come into this theater and loves it so much that he is going to do a production here. And his name starts with Al.
Oh, wait. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He did a stage reading here already. He was here rehearsing for 2 weeks. He loves it so much that he's coming back again.
Well, there's a...
And I feel when he went and he hugged me, he looked at me and I said, Al, this is not a coincidence that I'm doing a Cuban play and you play in Scarface, a Cuban. This is not
God.
A coincidence, you know. These things are not coincidence. And he looks at me, really? I want to come see that play. And he says, well, yeah, of course you can come see it. So he's going to come see the play.
All right.
And I he hugged me and he said, you know, you have really good vibes in this theater. I love this place.
And I agree with him.
Because he feels... Because I love theater and he loves theater. You know, he's a thespian. I mean, you know, of course he does all these beautiful movies and everything, but... He's at heart. His heart is theater.
You know, there's many actors that I've met over the years where, I mean, they do a lot of movies and things like that, but they do love theater, especially
if
they started.
Oh, yeah, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
It's you know, theater is alive. It's alive. You come see a live person in the moment creating a magical moment for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in
yeah,
the movies, they edit it. They do this. They do that. They adjust the sound. They put up special effects. It's not...
It's a different energy.
It's a different kind of thing,
the
you know?
The energy is just completely different because you can get lost in a movie, watching a movie, but watching a play, you...
It's
the
like there.
It's right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there. And if you and if you're really watching
no
closely,
editing.
you want to go, okay, what's the next line? What's the next line?
Yeah.
So, but, well, on that beautiful news, I just keep me informed and let me know when it's going to happen, and we'll make sure and do something.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I feel honored. I feel very blessed. Well, I feel blessed because I have the space to create.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's really
that's
a
important.
Blessing.
That's very important.
And then when I have somebody as of that kind of caliber to come into my space and say this to me, it's kind of like it just makes my day. It just makes me feel so happy all the time. I swear, he was here the other day doing a little stage reading in the Garber Room because I was rehearsing in here. And he was out there, and I came out, and he hugs me, says, good work. I'm like, I had to pinch myself and go, my God, that is Al Pacino in my lobby. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying.
It was great. I had to share that with you because...
Oh, no, that's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful to know that, you know, somebody like that...
And he played a Cuban, which is amazing to me.
I know, and that movie... I was surprised that my son, when he was a teenager,
he did an amazing job in that movie.
He likes using that line.
He said he told me that they're rerunning it all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
After Obama landed in Cuba, they keep rerunning that movie. And I said, of course. So
okay.
Funny.
Well,
anyway,
thank you
Angela.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.